One of the most difficult steps to flipping houses is finding, hiring, and managing the right contractors, especially today when the demand for good contractors is high and the supply of good contractors is low. Now, if you don't want your rehab project to turn into a nightmare, this is a video you don't want to miss. Get ready to learn the 10 must-follow rules for hiring and managing contractors coming up.
For a limited time, you can get a free copy of Jerry Norton's Quick Start Kit with everything you need to flip your first house in 30 days or less. Download it now at myquickstartkit.com.
If this is your first time here, my name is Jerry Norton. I've been a full-time real estate investor now for over 17 years. Amongst other things, I specialize in flipping houses all across the country, and I've helped thousands of new investors get into the game of flipping and create six-figure and even seven-figure incomes. If you want to learn how to flip houses so you can live your dream life, be sure to subscribe to my channel and click the bell icon to get notified when new videos are released. On this video, I'm going to use a lot of generalizations about the difficulty of working with contractors. Like everything, I realize that there are good contractors and bad contractors, and in my key markets where I do ongoing deals, I've got some of the best, most reliable contractors that I've been working with for years, and I'm extremely grateful for all of the hard work that they do. But most new flippers have a tendency to attract the wrong contractors, and as a result, have really bad experiences. Let me try to help you overcome some of those issues. Rule number one is if a contractor is available on short notice, they are probably not a good contractor. Let me explain. In a tight labor market like the one we're in as of this recording, all decent contractors are busy and really good contractors are really busy, as in booked out 6 months or longer before they can take on any new work. That means unless you have a strong working relationship, if a contractor is available to work on your project on really short notice, there's a good chance he is not a good contractor and you need to be careful. Now, I recently called a civil engineer I needed for one of my projects that came highly recommended. His answering machine said, "We are not answering the phones. We are not taking on any new clients until 2022, which at the time was like 9 months away. So if a contractor is available right away, proceed with caution and follow everything I outline in this video. Rule number two is finding, hiring, and managing contractors the right way is 10 times harder and 10 times more work than doing it the wrong way. Although flippers will never admit it, most of the time, problems with contractors are the flipper's fault because they were too lazy to do things the right way. Now, they didn't get multiple bids, they didn't verify the contractor's previous work, they didn't create proper expectations, they didn't follow up, and they didn't manage performance. If you're going to rehab houses successfully, you have to be fully prepared to embrace contractor management. To help you, I'll give you my contractor agreement that I give all my contractors to sign. It has 15 clauses, so everything is clear and concise up front before they even start working, and I'll give that to you for free. I'll put the download link in the description below for you. Rule number three is you get what you pay for. Now, I've noticed a direct relationship between contractor drama and price. The more you pay, the less drama, and the less you pay, the more drama. For example, on my luxury new construction flips I do in Arizona, before we can pour the foundation, we have to do site work to level and prepare the lot, cut or fill the elevations, dig the footings, and so on. And when we get bids, we have a site work contractor, Dave, who routinely comes in 30% cheaper than everyone else. He is so ridiculously cheap that we can save thousands of dollars by hiring Dave to do the site work. But do we really save? No, because there is a direct and indirect cost for the drama that comes with hiring the cheapest contractor. Dave always overpromises and underdelivers. Since he's doing work so cheap, he's unable to invest in his business by hiring good people and good equipment. He's one job away from being out of business. And high drama people don't keep it to themselves. They have to share it with everyone, so we get to hear all of his problems and excuses for not getting the job done on time. Now, the last time we hired Dave, he went 4 weeks over his timeline, which delayed the project and cost me more than the savings. Now, the problem is a lot of flippers don't budget properly for the rehab and are forced to hire the cheap, high-drama contractors. If that's you, then you have two choices. own it and deal with high drama contractors as your business model. In other words, I don't want to hear you complain about contractors, or start budgeting more for your rehabs and pay more for reliable, low drama contractors. Those are your two choices. Rule number four is to convey to contractors that you are a source of repeat business. Most contractors struggle to see the big picture. Most contractors only think about the here and now and the job at hand. It's up to you to help them see the bigger picture, that you are looking to establish a working relationship for years to come. I tell every contractor that my goal is to do 12 to 15 rehabs a year in that particular market. Even if it's your first deal, your goal is to continue doing deals, and you need to convey that to them. Don't assume they know that. I tell them to give me a fair price and do good work on time, and I'll be a continual source of work for years to come. Above all else, explain to contractors that you need them to watch your back and look for ways to save you money. I tell them, if I make money, I'll keep buying houses and keep giving you work. If I lose money, I'll stop buying houses and you won't have any work. That when I win, you win. Now, my most loyal and committed contractors play the long game with me. Fair compensation over 100 houses is way better than gouging me on one deal. For example, recently I had a contractor call us the day before he was scheduled to start work and said that his price increased $7,000 higher than his written bid he provided a few weeks earlier. Now, the increase was solely due to him knowing that I would be forced to pay it. He knew that it would take me weeks to find and schedule a new contractor and that I was at his mercy. So what do you think I did? I paid his increase, but vowed to never hire him again. What a dumb, short-sighted thing to do. Okay, rule number five is to pay by the project. We call this the scope of work. Be as specific and detailed as you possibly can. Over-communicate what you want and what you expect, and then get a bid for labor and material to do the work according to that scope of work. Do not pay contractors hourly. While that may be tempting because you think you'll save money, trust me when I tell you that you won't. Your project will crawl along because the longer it takes, the more they make. Rule number six is to hire a contractor for small portions of the total scope of work as you go, rather than hiring a contractor for the whole scope of work up front. For example, let's say that you need to hire a tile contractor to tile the kitchen floor and two bathroom floors and two tub surrounds. Now, instead of hiring them to do all of the tile work, start with just the floor and one bathroom. After they finish the floor and one bathroom, if they did a good job, give them the surround in bath one. Then if that goes well, give them the floor in bath two, then the tub surround in bath two, and then finally the kitchen. The reason to only give portions of work is twofold. Reason number one is obvious, and that's to make sure they show up, do good work, and get it done on time. Having additional work based on performance is a good motivator for them to stay focused and do a good job. The second reason has to do with draws and payments. Most contractors require a deposit up front, which is typically half of the total scope of work before they will start working. Contractors will tell you it's to buy materials. The problem is, once you pay a big deposit, you become a lower priority. I call this getting upside down with the contractor. You're chasing them instead of them chasing you. My preference is I pay for the materials directly with my credit card and then only pay for labor once the work is completed. That's how I've done it for years, but in today's market with high demand and low supply of good contractors, that's hard to do, and most will require a deposit upfront or they won't do the work. That's what happens when you need them more than they need you. They call the shots. That's why it's best to give small portions of work as you go. A small scope of work means a smaller deposit. Rule number seven is for contractors to include material in their total price for their scope of work, including ordering, purchasing, and picking up materials. It's common for contractors to want you to get the materials and have them at the house for them, but inevitably, you'll miss something and end up spending all of your time at Home Depot, which is not a good use of your time. Instead, provide the specs or SKU numbers to the exact materials you want, but make it clear that their price is to include ordering, purchasing, and picking up the materials. Rule number eight is to not pay contractors with checks. Contractors will not start working until the check clears, they'll leave the job early to go cash checks, and they'll tell you the check didn't clear when it actually did. And worst of all, you'll have to drop everything to go pay a contractor a check. Now, all of that can easily be avoided by paying with ACH Direct Deposit, which is where your bank will deposit the payment directly into their account. Once initiated, the money will hit their account usually the next day. Or even faster is to use a mobile app service like Venmo, which shows the money was sent and received within seconds. Rule number 9 is to remember the squeaky wheel syndrome, which is the squeaky wheel gets the grease. In other words, whoever makes the most noise gets the most attention. In a high contractor demand market, contractors have other customers clamoring for them to get their projects done. It's tempting for them to leave your job not completed to take care of other customers making more noise than you. You want to be at the top of their priority list, and to do that, you need to over-communicate the urgency to get your project done right away. One way to make a lot of noise in a positive way is to offer more money for on-time or early completion. While it's no fun to pay more than you budgeted for the work that they committed to do, it might be worth paying a bonus to get your project done sooner rather than drag on forever. And last but not least, rule number 10 is to keep tight records. In the event of an IRS audit, you'll want to have a W-9 form for every contractor and written invoices for every draw paid to contractors. To avoid a contractor putting a mechanics lien on your property, get a lien waiver that matches every draw paid. Now, a good standard operating procedure is to not pay a draw unless you first get a W-9 invoice and lien waiver. And always track closely your projected budget versus your actual cost. This will help you get better at understanding what it actually costs to rehab houses. Fortunately, these are standard tools that come included with my deal management system, Flipster. If you've never heard of Flipster, it's a cloud-based, all-inclusive deal management system to help you organize, streamline, and automate all of the steps to flipping houses. And contractor management tools allow you to easily organize your W-9s, invoices, and lien waivers and do it paperless per project. And the budget tracker tool will let you know instantly where you stand on all your rehabs. Now, to learn more and see Flipster in action, just go to getflipster.com. Now, I used to be so unorganized with my flipping business, and I was dropping balls all over the place. And now with Flipster, I'm able to run a tight ship, which always means more profit. Finally, while it's tricky to find and hire and manage contractors, doing it virtually or remotely adds another layer of challenge to the process. But I love flipping houses virtually because it opens up so many more opportunities. So next, I want you to watch a video where I show you how to rehab houses remotely without ever seeing them. So watch that video now, and if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to my channel. With over 725 videos, this is the number one channel on YouTube for all things flipping, and I'll see you on the next video.